Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Story Movements, How Documentaries Empower People and Inspire Social Change, by Katie Borum Chattu. Read by Romy Nordlinger. Preface. Documentary has played a central role in my career, and its value in my life has revealed itself in distinct waves and moments. In some ways, then, I have imagined this book for as long as I can remember, being captivated by artistic nonfiction storytelling as a source of insight about the world and the people who inhabit it. In the first moment, I was a fledgling viewer. In the mid-1990s, Kartemquin Films' intimate, emotional, entertaining film Hoop Dreams exploded onto the scene to critical acclaim, opening many eyes to contemporary documentary, including my own, and indelibly marching the form into the territory of thoroughly modern, independent cinema verite as it invited audiences into the lives of two Chicago teens as they navigated basketball passions and the messy details of life. Several years later, I saw one of Stanley Nelson's documentaries, The Black Press, Soldiers Without Swords, a film that revealed the pioneering history of African-American newspapers in the United States. For me, Nelson's lens helped illuminate the power of documentaries to correct inaccurate narratives and supply those that are often otherwise neglected. I was hooked. The second wave in my documentary evolution happened years later in 2004, on the day I found myself on my first field shoot as a documentary producer after several years of other professional communication endeavors. Within the first minute of camera roll, my job was to help hold our cinematographer, the accomplished documentarian Brian Knappenberger, steady as he filmed outside the open back window of a station wagon hurtling down the highway adjacent to St. Louis, Missouri. It was decidedly unglamorous, totally invigorating, and breathtakingly exciting. I had imagined how it would feel to be in the field, working with a creative crew and connecting with people, but nothing compared to being there and doing it. For that project, a short documentary that examined manufacturing job flight in the Midwest, my crew and I produced daily short films on a 10-day bus tour from Missouri to Iowa to Ohio to D.C., stopping at remote FedEx locations to send mini DV tapes to our editor. The experience was exhausting, physically and intellectually and creatively and emotionally, and hard, but it was deeply gratifying. Starting that day, and several documentary films and TV projects later, I decided that producing nonfiction stories satisfied me more than watching them, although the lens and motivations matched my experience as an audience member. That is, shining a light on intimate human experiences to reveal societal challenges or perspectives often missing in the broader news or entertainment marketplace. And by extension, through this spotlight, we, not simply audiences, but members of civically engaged publics who activate the public sphere from which democracy finds its life force, might have an opportunity to strengthen our communities, develop our own perspectives, and even to be advocates for change and justice. In the ensuing years, well past my documentary producer beginnings, nonfiction storytelling changed and exploded dramatically in filmmaking technology in the digital age, in professional community, and in access to audiences. Documentary, and my specific interest, social issue documentary, is in the midst of a legitimate heyday. Audiences are seeking and discovering and watching documentaries as perhaps never before, as a mechanism for democratic public engagement about social challenges. Documentary is powerful. Situated in the participatory networked era, the age of streaming and social media, the rich early analog origins of this documentary tradition have evolved into a new generation's marketplace and civic participation practices. And yet, although the transformation of cheaper digital filmmaking equipment and editing software has democratized creative access to new storytellers in many ways, documentary work can be difficult for makers. For many, to make a career in documentary, which is a form of art, is an economic struggle. It is often dangerous, mentally and physically exhausting work, unspooling over years and raising money along the way. Independent documentary in the United States, as well as many parts of the world, is shaped within a broader media system that is even more consolidated than ever before, at a time of digital surveillance and threats to free expression. These challenges provide opportunities for research and growth in the field. This brings me to the third wave in my professional connection to documentary, which is my identity as a scholar focused on the intersection of documentary and democracy, or public engagement with nonfiction storytelling at the core. Between my first years of documentary production and the present moment, I also worked as a senior communication and philanthropy executive researcher and strategist specializing in social change. I came to believe that documentary storytelling, rather than being an outlier to that work, was the missing piece. Even the most sophisticated, research-driven social justice communication strategy has little chance of success without the people-motivating role of narrative and creative culture. The more intimate the story, the better. Bringing these practices together is the focus of my documentary research and public writing. As a hybrid producer, researcher, and professor who remains embedded within documentary practice and its professional field, I endeavor to contribute research and host convenings that enhance our collective understanding about how creative nonfiction storytelling sparks ongoing dialogue and pursuits for social justice. In this regard, I am constantly motivated to merge disciplines and sectors— academic, artistic, professional, toward the development of new insights. Years after discovering Kartemkwin Film's pathbreaking work in Hoop Dreams, I am honored to serve on that organization's board of directors, along with the same appointment at the pioneering documentary organization Working Films, and on the East Coast Board of Advisors for the George Foster Peabody Awards, the oldest and most prestigious award for American broadcasting, which honors many seminal independent documentaries. These commitments, among other collaborations with the field, offer unique vantage points by which I continue to learn about the evolution of documentary filmmaking, as well as the study of its influence. And thus I arrive at the current moment. Story movements, how documentaries empower people and inspire social change, comprises the adventures, motivations, learnings, observations, co-creations, collaborations, and research projects that have taken place throughout this journey, along with the voices and perspectives of the memorable people I've encountered along the way. Most important, it aims to reflect the legacy and ongoing work of the artists, journalists, philanthropists, community members, and advocates who have so indelibly shaped and continued to advance and bring to life the intersection of creative nonfiction, storytelling, and democracy. Within this book, I humbly attempt to offer something new, even while my effort stands amid tremendous bodies of brilliant work from many scholars, filmmakers, field leaders, and thinkers who came before and continue today, many of them cited and spotlighted here. For this foundation and these individuals, and the documentary and community engagement efforts that allowed me to craft such a volume, I am immeasurably grateful. Stories can entertain, sometimes teach or argue a point, but for me, the essential thing is that they communicate feelings, that they appeal to what we share as human beings across our borders and divides. There are large, glamorous industries around stories— the book industry, the movie industry, the television industry, the theater industry. But in the end, stories are about one person saying to another, "This is the way it feels to me. Can you understand what I'm saying? Does it also feel this way to you? Kazuo Ishiguro, the Nobel Prize in Literature 2017. 1. Revealing New Reality. Documentary's Networked Era Arrives. This is the gift of documentaries. Going to a party you're not invited to, and it's not fancy, and you don't have to dress up. You come as you are, and the more you come as you are, the better the shot at getting the good story. Sheila Nevins, executive producer, MTV Documentary Films. 2004 was not great for Walmart, despite its unrivaled position atop the Fortune 500 list. That year, the world's biggest company bore the paradoxical distinction of landing in Fortune magazine's Most Admired Companies issue, along with pro-consumer multinational monitor's 10 Worst Corporations of 2004 list. It was a curious perch, as Fortune mused at the time. The more America talks about Walmart, it seems the more polarized its image grows. A steady drumbeat of news coverage revealed stories of alleged worker discrimination, labor challenges, and other ills. Communities from Washington to Oregon to California to Indiana forged alliances to keep Walmart out. Media captured these battles of grassroots resistance, a pattern that reverberated and picked up steam. As a Los Angeles-based researcher and producer at the time, I did what seemed natural. I wrote a documentary film treatment about Walmart, and I shared it with everyone who would listen. It turns out, I wasn't the only one. By the end of the year, a meeting with another documentarian, Robert Greenwald of Brave New Films, a pathbreaking early adopter of grassroots online documentary distribution, led me into a physical and virtual war room of filmmakers, civil society organizations, and community coalitions that were just beginning to shape a documentary film to push for change. I joined Greenwald's producing team immediately. And thus, in early 2005, I began my journey traveling around the country, armed with a notebook, flip phone, audio gear, and copious extra batteries, working most of the time with a trusty cinematographer partner, Christy Tully. We became a fast-moving two-woman team, arriving in small cities and towns, often working 12 hours a day in the field to connect with people from Arkansas to Ohio to North Carolina. We spent time with revered local business owners in Hamilton, Missouri, a Midwest haven of Americana where retailer JCPenney was born. In North Carolina, we gripped the sides of a racing speedboat captained by the joke-cracking Catawba Riverkeeper, who had become an environmental advocate laser-focused on toxins leaking into the water supply. And we dimmed the camera lights to film with a former Walmart manager who could barely keep his emotions in check as he talked about his experience. These visits, revealing intimate human stories, would join others captured by our team of field producers to become the independent documentary, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and the centerpiece of a national grassroots campaign to push for change. We weren't simply concerned about one company's business practices. We and many others were worried about the race-to-the-bottom ripple effect on Walmart's distributors and supplier companies, whose business protocols were forced to mold around the biggest corporate player on the planet. In such a moment, we reasoned, illuminating the struggles of ordinary people and community groups fighting back in the ultimate David versus Goliath story would provide a visceral lens and spark a meaningful, action-oriented public conversation. Under Greenwald's visionary leadership, the team shaped the film as a living, in-the-minute exposé, while simultaneously building a nationwide grassroots coalition of community and civil society groups. The list of unusual bedfellows included environmental groups like the Riverkeeper Alliance, progressive faith-based groups like Sojourners, labor unions, church groups, human rights groups, and neighborhood organizations. Through this network, We produced a documentary story to stand on its own, but also to fit within a growing public cry for change in Walmart's business practices. Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, premiered in November 2005 as the centerpiece of a nationwide grassroots mobilizing effort, Walmart Week. People around the country screened the film in homes, community centers, churches, classrooms, synagogues, and union halls. The Walmart documentary wasn't the first to leverage a coalition-based approach to raise awareness and mobilize publics around a social challenge, but the film was shaped and distributed in a meaningful juncture, in the crevasse between the early digital century and the looming revolution of the participatory, networked media age. In retrospect, we can more clearly see the pivotal 2005 moment marked by the transformation of digital filmmaking technology, the emergence of social media, and a new class of documentary makers engaging community through online platforms. At the time, YouTube was a curious fledgling novelty. People were just beginning to understand their new digital advocacy power, and social media networks, led by Facebook and Twitter, were a few years away from turbocharging the influence of activists in the first networked social movements, Occupy Wall Street and the Arab Spring. And the visionaries at Netflix, the billion-dollar business that shifted media consumption habits and upended Hollywood business practices, were quietly planning the streaming entertainment uprising, even while legacy news media prematurely and amusingly declared the then-mail-order DVD business dead. As the century progressed, documentary's participatory networked era emerged. New organizations evolved from the practices and organizations established decades prior, designed to strategically leverage the intimacy, emotion, and depth of documentary storytelling to engage audiences in social challenges. New funding flowed into the work, fresh outlets for distribution launched, and fledgling storytellers arrived on the scene to take advantage of newly accessible production and editing gear. Audiences discovered documentaries in ways that seemed impossible a generation before, to the extent that media products, audience consumption behavior, and culture continue to transform in the post-millennial age, the present-day nexus of social issue documentary storytelling and public engagement is simultaneously new, but historically rooted in decades of cultural and technological change, shaped by pioneering filmmakers and activists. How we arrived here and how contemporary documentaries meaningfully reveal complex social issues and untold stories, and engage publics, is the journey of this book. This book explores the functions and public influence of contemporary social issue documentary storytelling. Through the stories and ideas that follow, I argue that documentaries play a vital role in democratic functioning and social progress with a motivation toward justice and equity. In the present-day media environment, audiences experience the practice and output of documentary films that passionately interrogate topics like youth bullying, bully, domestic violence, private violence, racial justice, whose streets, and many other social issues. In a continuum of social change, documentaries have incited national and local conversations, set media agendas, provided intimate new lenses with which to see social problems and people, and sometimes contributed to changing laws and corporate policies. Publics can access the stories in a shifting, expanded media marketplace that ranges from theaters to streaming outlets to legacy public media and cable TV and community venues. Fueled by the possibilities of the participatory networked media age, the contemporary role and function of social issue documentaries in the public sphere is embodied also in parallel community engagement practices, the active role of civil society groups, communities, and individual people speaking truth to power. Through the artistic lens of cinema and the integrity of journalism, documentaries showcase stories that disrupt dominant cultural narratives and contribute new ways for audiences to contemplate and understand the world around them. What is a documentary? For more than a century, documentaries have illuminated the messy, intimate human voyage and invited audiences to bear witness. Creative nonfiction stories, whether we experience them in theaters, on TV, online, in community centers, or classrooms, can delight, entertain, amuse, enrage, teach, shock, and mobilize, spark public and private conversations, fuel community solidarity, empower movements for change, provide new ways of seeing ideas we thought we knew, and introduce people and places we don't see at all. They proffer voyeuristic entry into lives, realities, problems, scandals, and intimate secrets, from poverty to sexual assault to drug addiction to racial discrimination. Along the way, documentaries contribute to the process by which we mold our perspectives of the world, and sometimes the ways in which we reconstitute it. At their core, documentaries are a form of art that supplies the civic and narrative imagination that is vital, well beyond simply knowing facts and information, to shaping a culture that can understand and include the full spectrum of human experience and the lives we live. This cultural work embodied in stories is, in philosopher Martha Nussbaum's words, a required function for citizenship. Narrative art has the power to make us see the lives of the different with more than a casual tourist's interest, with involvement and sympathetic understanding, with anger at our society's refusals of visibility. We come to see how circumstances shape the lives of those who share with us some general goals and projects, and we see that circumstances shape not only people's possibilities for action, but also their aspirations and desires, hopes and fears. All of this seems highly pertinent to decisions we must make as citizens. The documentary tradition also has, over the course of its history, evolved from awkward propagandistic roots, as documentary scholar John Corner colorfully articulated. At one time, it was thought that the most important thing to say about documentary was that it was a loose generic bundle of sham and trickery, grounded in technically devious schemes of expository or observational and authoritarianism, and with a track record of political and social misinformation stretching back to the 1920s. Documentary practices and forms have matured over the decades through the converged machinations of storytellers, technology, the marketplace, and demands for social reform. How to define documentary as a mediated form of storytelling? Is it journalism? Is it entertainment? It can include elements of both. We find documentary within complicated, murky boundaries of practice and form, maker motivation and audience experience. In the words of British documentary luminary Nick Fraser, "No body of theory exists to legitimize docs, and I'm grateful for this. They have come to subsist at a crossroads of contemporary culture, somewhere between journalism, film narrative, and television entertainment. They appear to thrive on contradictions between the stubborn reality they purport to capture and their necessarily limited means, between the impositions of storytelling and the desire to interpret or analyze. They aren't fictional, ever, but they can seem in their attractiveness more real than reality." Documentary's origin stories trace back to the late 1800s with inventor and photography luminary Louis Lumiere and his small, hand-cranked cinematograph camera. But the genre stirred to life amid two paradoxical realities: the dizzyingly frenetic days of the early 20th century and the Great Depression, and the aesthetic artistry that emerged from fledgling Hollywood and motion picture storytellers around the world. The Great Depression created tragedies of immense proportion, poverty and unemployment and starvation. At the same time, from the cityscape of New York to the sunny paradise of California, the creative innovators in early Hollywood evolved motion pictures as entertainment for the masses. Through their enthusiasm, moviegoers shaped the early aesthetic and artistic grammar of the visual entertainment narrative. Both cultural realities, the innovation of motion pictures and the turbulence of the evolving 1900s, intertwined to position early documentary storytelling as artistic but educational, or at least societally useful beyond amusement. Documentary was shaped globally. Within this juncture, in the 1930s, John Grierson, a Scottish sociologist motivated by the desire for social improvement, articulated his enduring definition of documentary as a creative treatment of actuality, in reference to a 1926 film, Moana, directed by Robert Flaherty. Flaherty also directed Nanook of the North, 1922, a portrait of an indigenous community widely recognized as one of the first documentary films. For his part, Flaherty, an American filmmaker, echoed the aesthetic and narrative conventions seen in early fiction Hollywood motion pictures. Considering Grierson's early focus on social responsibility, both social reform and the creativity of motion picture storytelling live in documentary's formative junctures. Grierson's definition is flexible, a creative treatment of actuality, a meaning that leaves unresolved the obvious tension between creative treatment and reality. Creative treatment suggests the license of fiction, whereas actuality reminds us of the responsibilities of the journalist and historian, wrote documentary scholar Bill Nichols. Grierson regarded socially conscious documentary imagery as a persuasive mechanism by which public opinion germinates and crystallizes, shaped in part by mass media. Beyond his lasting definition, Grierson focused on a distinctive aspect of documentary, a social responsibility function. In his mind, echoed in the evolution of the artistic practice throughout future decades, the act of showing real life bore a certain responsibility. While well-meaning, however, Grierson-style early documentaries, largely government-funded films, were characterized by a social reform approach that also rendered marginalized on-screen subjects as victims rather than individuals, with full humanity and agency. Critiques of Grierson's lens abound, but his early conceptualizations remain valuable. Also reflecting documentary's early roots, scholar William Stott positioned 1930s documentary reportage by three primary composite elements: direct quotation, facts, case history of an actual person, lived experience of the subject, and first-hand experience of the author, the creative point of view of the filmmaker. Although the form has evolved dramatically from the early analog days, a broad interpretation of the documentary reportage trifecta makes sense today. To show people's reality is to reveal their vulnerability and humanity, and to advocate improvement of the human condition. To render real life creatively and artistically shaped by the point of view of the storyteller is to draw people in. To locate case studies of social problems within larger frameworks of facts and information is to convey legitimacy and credibility. That said, documentary storytellers and communities today demand a more reflective interrogation of filmmakers' gazes and intentions. Transparency and naming the gaze is explicitly discussed and embedded in much contemporary documentary practice. Documentary is not, of course, solely a means to transmit information. Nonfiction storytelling packages and diffuses reality through artistic, creatively rendered narrative that evokes emotion, perhaps the most potent mechanism by which humans respond to the world. From the early roots of documentary, recognition about the underlying social power of emotion remains a dominant idea. When contemplating documentaries' ability to spark motivated political action from an audience, for example, emotional response lies at the fore. Defining documentary.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?